The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. This is Skillet, right? All right. Let me just share with you as we begin, completely unplanned, but since we're playing a Skillet song, John Cooper is scheduled to be on the program 2 weeks from today, which is the 27th. And Wilbur doesn't know this. So I had a conversation with John yesterday. And after kind of going back and forth, I've decided I'm going to come in on that day. And right now, 4 o'clock on the 27th, John Cooper will be my guest. He has a brand new book out called Awaken Alive in Truth. And if you've not heard John speak, this man can put two words together and it will light a fire in you. So 2 weeks from today, John Cooper, lead singer of Skillet, will be the guest on my program. All right, we begin with our impact segment. 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. I have a breaking story also about Governor Newsom that I'm going to be honest with you. When I read it, I thought, this can't be real. This can't be true. I've cross-referenced it, and it is absolutely accurate and truthful. I'm going to share that with you in a little while. If you're concerned at all about what's going on in our state with the color purple and lockdowns and COVID, wait till you hear what our governor did recently. As a matter of fact, it was last week. All right, let me take some calls. Also this hour, I've got a commentary from a close friend on something we talked about yesterday on the program. That is the elections. And what did your pastor say, if anything, about the elections, about the presidential races, about the importance of voting biblically. We've got a commentary on that too. 888-528-2557. Tom in your Belinda. Tom, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hello, Frank. You're a good man. Here's a what I hope is just a hypothetical. What if the preponderance of the evidence shows that Joe Biden and the Democrats stole the election, but the Supreme Court, for whatever reason, doesn't rule the obvious, and Biden is coronated? What are we as Christians supposed to do in terms of obeying an illegitimate government? Personally, I don't read God into this, that he wanted Joe Biden to be president.
Yep.
Because that gets into the blaming God for something that we should have done something
about.
That's right. What do you think as Christians we should do in that scenario?
I have two responses.
Move on and obey?
Yeah, two responses. Stuart, stay there because I want to ask you a question, but two responses. Number one, just kind of off the cuff, I had this wild image. You and I are roommates. We share a house together. And you come down the hall. Hey, Frank, let me throw this one at you. I don't think you and I would get much sleep because I get a sense that you and I would challenge each other to really think about things and to pray about things. That's one of the many things I appreciate so greatly about you when you call, because it's like, well, now this one is one I've not really spent a lot of time thinking about. So thank you for that. Number two, if indeed this scenario occurred, my initial thought without any prayer, and I would have to really go to prayer on this, is we cannot stand for that. And the impulse is, I know many said Christians will go, well, it must be God's will. He wants Joe Biden in office. I don't read it that way at all. So let me turn it back to you. Since you cooked this question up, tell me more about your thought process.
I believe bad things happen, and it is our duty as Christians to work to bring about what is good from bad circumstances. God does not want Joe Biden and the left to take over America. So don't blame him and don't leave it entirely in his hands to make things better. It is our job while we're here to serve him without hesitation and without timidity. We must fight the good fight regardless of the circumstances. And I refuse to obey someone who has no business being president, let alone within 1,000 miles of the White House. Mm.
Tom, thank you. I appreciate your call greatly. I appreciate your emails as well. Now, what I want to do is I want to clear the board. I want to take the three calls that have not been taken and then kind of transition into a couple of other areas because it is Open Phone Friday. Rafe or Raf in Pasadena, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Sorry to off the topic, I guess, on the previous. All I want to say that the president was on the TV saying all about good things about vaccine coming up in a few days, maybe a few weeks, and turned to CNN and looks like they're still punching at him and not even giving a one single credit. This is not uniting the nation, and this is not right.
Well, okay, I appreciate the call. When I've gathered what you shared, evidently the president just recently in the last hour or so shared about the update on the vaccine. He has all along said he will have a vaccine, Operation Warp Speed. And I'm not even going to get into what is the vaccine. Some of you have sent me some troubling videos, but you're saying that he shared this. Here's the good news. And yet you go over to the mainstream media and they're still hammering him. Yeah, welcome to America in the year 2020. And how the left is using their thirst and their lust for power to the point where they would break about every possible rule or law to do it, let alone how they completely, subjectively create their own moral standard of what's right and wrong. Very troubling. Thank you, Raf. Sue in Los Angeles. Sue, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi. Thank you, Frank. You were saying earlier that you didn't know, you were asking, how did Joe Biden get wealthy? Were you serious when you said that?
I, of course, was not serious.
Oh, okay. Okay, then I probably don't have to explain it then. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for taking my call anyways.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. No, in the context, if you didn't hear the call, somebody said that Joe Biden's a crook, going on. And to be in a responsible position, my retort was, well, I don't know if we can prove that he's a crook, but, and then I said tongue in cheek, I just wonder how he's attained so much wealth and his family. And I think there's enough indications that anybody with half an interest in finding out more information or the truth, you can kind of connect the dots, as it were. By the way, a very quick hypothetical I'm just throwing out there. Do I think if indeed somehow we have a new president come January and Joe Biden, do I think we're going to hear anything more about the Hunter Biden situation? You better believe we are. And I don't want to get too far down the road here. I still, in my position, my viewpoint, I think that this idea of whoever is crying voter fraud aloud and screaming, it needs to be investigated. And for the scores of you that may say you're Christian and, oh, what's the deal? No voter fraud. I hear it all the time. We saw the story yesterday, and this is the newly elected president. With respect, I've never had any inclination to go to right and wrong, but that position is absolutely false. He is not the newly elected president if you embrace the laws and the standards of this country by which we've operated for more than two centuries. That has to go to the state legislators. The states are who certify who they say took their state. That has not happened. The media does not have that power. He can stand in front of a camera all he wants with a little graphic behind newly elected president, looking all, you know, fancy schmancy and gotten his look done. He's got a little new look and his hair and looking all suave as an older man. That doesn't make him the president. And if you think that, you're foolish. Donna in West Covina. Donna, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to go really fast because I have two comments. One is China. I think that absolutely you're correct that I don't think any politician should be able to run for office if they have the kind of connections to China that Joe Biden did. I was an accountant and worked for a large utility, electric utility, and had to brief the CEO on our annual shareholder meeting and found that we had, there were devices that were found on our grid. And in the event that we had, let's say we had a kind of COVID, but 10 times as worse, or we had a lot of unrest, these devices were of Chinese or Russian origin, and they could be turned on and could bring down our entire electrical grid. So we have to be very concerned with China. The other thing really fast is on the computer system, I heard, I think it was Sidney Powell, the attorney for General Flynn. She said that Dianne Feinstein had a share in Dominion. Now, I don't know if it's a small share, a majority share, whatever, but I think that should have been vetted. None of these people should have shares in things that could affect our election. Dianne Feinstein was also the one. Her husband, and this was researched in depth in a story in the Times, was awarded a $1 billion contract for that high-speed rail that went to nowhere. And she shouldn't, I mean, that shouldn't happen. So I'd like to hear what your comments are on that. And I'll get off the phone so someone else can call.
Yep, thank you. My comments, and I rarely say this, I'm speechless initially. Because as you were talking, and I'm like, yes, I've heard that too. Yes, I've read that allegation, and I agree. If that's the case, complete conflict of interest, down, 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 down. And when you mentioned Dominion, I've heard somewhere that Dominion was used, and I'm going to find out, and maybe you can email me. Don't call. We're going to move on with the calls for right now. In fact, I'm going to take one more call, and then I want to play this audio clip. I've got a commentary, and I've got the story about the governor. I'm not baiting you, but you're not going to believe this story. I initially thought this can't be true, but it is. I cross-referenced it. I was thinking, I had heard Dominion was used in an election in the last few decades in South America by which, let's just say we know by now of what's happened to this particular country that went from being completely rich to now mass populations are trying to find food in trash cans. 888-528-2557, Richard in Pasadena, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank, how are you doing today?
Good.
I just have a quick either question or comment. Is I have a pretty good memory, and I think I remember 4 years from today or a little bit more, a lot of people got riled up because you put a picture of President and Vice President Pence on your Facebook, and I remember you said, hey, look, if it was Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine, I would have put the same thing up because they're all our presidents.
You're correct.
So I think you should kind of maybe do that for Biden. And again, I listened to your show.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Hold on.
To just kind of move on and like.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Why? Can you not have a conversation, Richard? Richard.
Yes.
Would you like a response? Would you like a response? Thank you. And do not hang up.
Sure.
The response is this. When I posted that photo, you are accurate. They were certified by the states to be the next president and vice president-elect. And whenever that happens, whoever it is, I will post that photo on my Facebook page. But do you not dare to insinuate that the reality right now that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the next president and vice president, and that's all been done by law. That's an outright lie. People have died and bled for the rights and the freedoms in this country. And the founding forefathers knew what they were doing. So because we have a media right now that has this partisan narrative that somehow this is who they've announced as the next president and vice president, don't you dare spit on the graves of people that have sacrificed their lives in this country. And I will tell you, with the millions of people who are listening right now, whoever's certified to be the next president and vice president, I will gladly put it on my Facebook page and say we need to pray for them. I'd love to hear your response.
I mean, that's great. I thought I had a good memory, but I remember when you put it on, all the states, again, maybe if I'm wrong, you put it up pretty quickly that same day, and the states didn't certify it. I know Hillary Clinton conceded,
okay,
but you still put
okay,
it
your
up
memory,
anyway.
Your memory so does not what? Serve you correctly, so we can just put that one to rest.
Okay. I mean, I just think we need to move on. I'm
I know you do. I know you do. So spit on the graves. That's right. You need just move on, Frank. I don't care what the laws say. I just want to be emotional because I can't stand this current president, and just get over yourself.
You're being emotional. You're being emotional. Can I speak or no?
Why when you say we should just move? You're darn right I'm emotional. I'm angry. We should just move on and ignore laws.
But again, feelings. And everything is
ignore laws.
They're all feeling happy. Everything's okay, and this and that.
We're all feeling happy. Everything's people. Okay. Oh my goodness! When I'm asking you again. Should we not? Should we not? Forget it. This is good radio. Oh, don't hang up on him, boy. People like this stuff. I despise it. If you don't want to have a conversation, Thomas Sowell, who is a black economist, brilliant man. I think he's in his 90s now. I admire him like very few men. He says this: I don't mind engaging in debates with intelligent people. It's the stupid people that I won't do that with. Now, am I calling him stupid? No. But I'm saying if you don't have a heart to want to have a genuine conversation, I ask point blank. So, if we should just move on, is your position we should ignore the law? It's a very direct question. And if Richard would have said yes, I would have said, wow, I don't know what else to tell you. Maybe we need to pass a new law, which is going to happen if indeed Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are certified to be the next president and vice president. They're all about changing things. In fact, when we come back, we're going to hear some audio and kind of get into this. This idea of, do we as Christians, do we speak out against what the Bible says we need to speak out against? And what about pastors and people that are church leaders? And if you voted for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and you say you're Christian, and we get into this, I voted for the president originally because of his position being pro-life. That's the most important position. And we have people in the church say, well, that's not the only thing. That's one of many things I hold true. Okay, so instead of stopping down and staying right there, by which you're going to rationalize the taking of an unborn baby's life, at least be honest and say, yeah, that's hard to admit, but yeah, that's my position. I would respect that level of truth versus this soft, lukewarm type of quote-unquote Christianity. And it's everywhere. And it starts in the pulpits. And we'll get into that next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. If you are a somewhat regular listener, you know this week I've shared some thoughts on the church's stance on the presidential elections and even the Sunday before and what pastors may or may not have said. Now, I want to play an audio clip. It's from one of my best friends. I'm just going to be honest. Victor Marx is one of my best friends. Some of you may know him. He's the founder of All Things Possible Ministries. He's done a lot in terms of going around the world and trying to stand against evil. Well, Victor posted a video yesterday on this very topic. I want to play it for you. This idea of Christian leadership and the presidential elections. This is Victor Marx.
Hey, Victor Marx here. I'm president of All Things Possible Ministries and founder of the Victor Marx Group. Listen, what I'm going to share with you in these next couple of minutes is extremely important, both for my position in faith and coming from someone who has lived his faith in pretty hostile environments to help children recover from trauma or to help redeem their lives or recover them, or even, you know, this whole idea of facilitating rescues in the most harshest, violent environments against ISIS. We still do work both in the Middle East and different parts of the world, but this is the context by which I'm going to speak to you about a very critical, important, let me just start with a question for you. You as a Christian, do you know if your pastor voted for Biden or Trump? Or was he quiet on this whole issue? And this is why it's important for me to have you understand and to find out what is at risk right now regarding the White House. Is Biden reversing Trump's policies on pro-life? I don't get it. And I have absolutely, with sincerity and respect, asked a few leaders on social media, both privately and never heard back, so publicly I asked them if they supported Biden or abortions, especially late-term abortions. And it's been very disheartening to see the response. And I don't know why Christian leaders aren't politely, respectfully calling out other Christian leaders, both, I don't care if they're in the music industry or the book industry or church leaders. We deserve to know if your faith is aligning with politics in the best way, or if your faith is compromising and you're allowing children to be murdered. I would be the biggest hypocrite if I didn't at least challenge those who profess the name of Christ to tell us and be forthcoming if they've given a nod to Biden's camp, which we absolutely know from Kamala Harris's, her own tweets, her own words, that she is absolutely for the killing of children, all the way to late-term abortions, which is beyond mind-boggling. Because I defend and reach and help so many children around the world, again, I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't take a stand for the most vulnerable children of all. I mean, today, this very day, I'm receiving comms as we're trying to rescue and recover and make safe an 8-year-old girl who was horribly raped. And people, regardless of political background, race, religion, they'll all come together with me on that, because nobody wants to see a child raped, and they believe the perpetrator should be pursued, prosecuted, and that's what we do on one aspect of our ministry and organization. But how about these little children who have no way to defend themselves, up to full term pregnancies, being gruesomely murdered? So let me encourage you, and give you permission, if you need it, to ask your pastor, did he vote for Biden or did he vote for Trump? Why is he quiet on the issue when the policies set forth and the positions are so different, so extreme on what we believe for biblical values, freedom of religion, and the protection of the unborn. Remember, 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not giving you a spirit of fear. So go after it. Be bold and stand for what's right. And that's the unborn children. God bless you.
Amen. Victor Marks speaking biblical truth and wisdom. And I would affirm what he said. I would encourage you to ask your pastor. My comments are on record. I've stated this week. Monday, we're going to revisit this, maybe have Victor on and talk more about this in depth and take some calls. But I think it's very important. And he said it clearly. And I've said it clearly. How can anyone profess to stand in a pulpit and not take a position biblically on something like the presidential elections? Now, part of me in cynicism may say, well, that's because they don't want to lose some of their flock. I can't go there, not my call. But I think it's a question that's important. I think without a doubt, I read an email. I've gotten a number of emails from people. I wish it was in the area of my pastor has spoken up. They're all from various areas in Southern California where their pastor quiet on this issue or saying before the elections that there's bad on both sides. You kind of decide for yourself. What kind of leadership is that? When are your people in a church that are even in ministry saying somehow that they voted for Joe Biden? I'd like to have that conversation. And we need to start with abortion. They're on record now as saying the moment they take over, they're going to override and change all the laws that President Trump over the last 4 years, all the pro-life laws, all the advances. They're going to say, nope. We have a right to kill babies anytime we want. And last thing, I may sound like a radical to some of you. Like, what are you talking? I get that. I was in case you don't know, I was a non-believer for a good chunk of my life. I was a New Age teacher. I would mock Christians. I would say things on my radio program of 21 years. I'm a man. This isn't a conversation men are supposed to have. Blah 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 blah. I get it. And then I woke up one day, and it hit me. It's not a woman's right to choose, or at the very least, if it is, a woman's right to choose to do what? To terminate a life. And men are complicit in that we have bought the lie that somehow we don't have a say. Some studies say 80% of couples that walk into a clinic, if the man would say, boyfriend, husband, I really want to keep this child. The prospective mother would say, okay, let's give it a go. Or let's have the baby and then have it put up for adoption. 80%. How does a civilized society continue to do this? Gandhi once said, you can judge a society for how it treats those between life and death. 888-528-2557. Let's take a couple calls here. Rudy in Anaheim. Rudy, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Rudy, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Thanks for calling.
I'm not a Christian, and we both, you know, inhabit this American society. So my question for you is, how do you talk to non-Christians about this issue? I feel like I'm personally, my view on abortion is that I don't agree with it. I don't, I'm not too familiar with like the whole arguments on when life happens. I know that I don't like third trimester abortions. I think, like you describe it, evil is a good way to describe it. But like for you, when does life start? Because I know the Catholic Church, they're even against certain contraception. But how do you talk about this to non-Christians in a constructive way? And also, the second part of the question is, without you kind of saying, well, you're not a Christian, why should I talk to you about
it? Oh, no, I would never say that. Yeah, I would never say that. You can put that out of your mind. Go ahead.
No, well, I've noticed that when someone starts speaking, a non-Christian starts talking to you about the Bible, you ask them if they're Christian or not, and then if they say no, then you say, well, I don't really care what you have to say because you don't really know about the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. So, why is that so confusing? Let me be clear here. Whatever the topic is, why would I want to speak on something I know nothing about? Pardon me?
I said I know you don't like it when people assume things about you or put words in your mouth. You don't necessarily know what they know about the Bible. And I'm speaking about this from somebody who used to be Christian. I was brought up in the church, and I'm very familiar. I totally sought out Jesus. I was totally with the program. I walked away from the faith, but we had a conversation one time.
Here, let me save you a little time. There's a lot of variables in what you're asking me. Here's what I want to tell you. Number one, when someone says they're not Christian and they have some type of accusation about the Bible, I don't care to have that conversation because they don't even know what the Bible is. Here's the example.
But you're assuming
hold
that.
Hold on. Well, if they say they're a Christian and they've not really read the Bible, how in the heck am I going to have a conversation about something that they know nothing about? Why would I do that?
Because they may know. I mean, I feel like I know a lot about the Bible.
Yep.
I used to be Christian for 20 years of my life. But.
Yep. Yeah, I can tell you is my own experience. I was a non-believer. I had all the expressions. The Bible is man's interpretation of God's word. It's been rewritten many times, blah, 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 blah. The Old Testament, I can't follow a God that kills his own people. I mean, I know all the rhetoric. But for me...
I would like to talk to you about this.
I know. Hang on. I know you would.
Know
let me get to that. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
I know you're crunched for time, but I was hoping
here.
You could answer the abortion question.
Yeah. Here's what I want to suggest you do. Can you send me an email?
I would like to, but I'm a little skeptical.
Okay. Well, all I can tell you is send me an email or have the screener, take your phone number, whatever you're comfortable with. I don't know what you're skeptical about. If I'm going to talk with you off air, I got to have a way to do it. So I'll have to leave it at that because I want to be fair to all the other callers. So please reach out to me. Absolutely, I have a conversation with you. And there's a lot of clarification I could share about what you questioned, but I don't have the time to do that now. Johnny in Long Beach. Johnny, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Clarification I could share about what you questioned.
Okay. Don't have the time. Your radio's on. We're in delay. I'm late for a break. I went to you. You had your opportunity. Gavin Newsom has done something that has come to light, and he's really done it. Wait to hear this one. That's next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. This segment, in part, is going to be one that is shockingly of a hypocritical nature. Let me start with this, and we're going to save the best one for last. A Portland politician pushing to defund the police, claiming that most calls are not real crimes, recently called 911 herself over an argument with a Lyft driver who refused to close his window. City Commissioner Joanne Hardesty, who also oversees Portland's emergency dispatch system, has repeatedly campaigned to cut police budgets and shift money elsewhere, arguing that the force is inundated with unnecessary calls that don't involve crimes. She again called for an $18 million cut just last Thursday, 4 days after she dialed 911 over a rideshare driver who was following Lyft's coronavirus safety guidelines to keep a window open. Speaking of the coronavirus, here's a sobering study In the United States, COVID-19 now kills about 0.6% of people infected with the virus compared to around 0.9% earlier in the pandemic, according to a study from the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. Despite new cases and hospitalizations surging, we hear this all the time, the daily news, the actual number of Americans dying per day has not been rising at the same rate at all. IHME Director Dr. Christopher Murray said the statistics reflect that doctors have figured out better ways to care for coronavirus patients, including the use of blood thinners and oxygen support, effective treatments such as the generic steroid dexamethasone, and also others identified. The Institute said it has also determined that the fatality rate for COVID-19 is worse in communities with higher levels of obesity. All right, let's have a couple stories about our governor. Number one, if you don't know what the Great Barrington Declaration is, you need to Google it or find out what it is. California Globe has reported that in October, more than 30,000 medical practitioners and medical and public health scientists recently released a letter, which is called the Great Barrington Declaration, telling politicians who continue to keep people in lockdown, they're causing more health issues and deaths than COVID-19 itself. Here are some statistics about the state of California. We have given 19,918,000 tests to California residents. With 972,000 cases, people testing positive, which means 18,947,000 Californians have tested negative. Now, let me reiterate here. California is a state of about 40 million residents. What about the other 39,982,023 who are restricted in one way or another because of Gavin Newsom's lockdown, mandatory mask wearing order, or the businesses with limited reopenings and restrictions? Again, in a state of 40 million people, we've had 17,977 deaths. 39,982,023 have not. Governor Gavin Newsom, last Friday, it has come to be known that he and his wife, Jennifer Siebel Newsom, attended a little party in Napa. This is the same governor that has lectured us about Thanksgiving and no voices being raised and no singing and no more than three families and blah, 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 blah. And we go along with this. It has now come to be known that Governor Gavin Newsom attended a birthday party for one of his political advisors last week that included scores of people from several households. The same type of gathering his administration has discouraged during the coronavirus pandemic. Now, part of me is like, shame on us. This shouldn't surprise us. These people in positions of power, they don't abide by their own rules, but we, oh, we're good Christians. We're not, we submit to the governing authority. Respect it. No, no, don't open churches. No, I'm going to stay home, wear my mask. Get this, there's more. After the San Francisco Chronicle published the story online, our governor issued an additional statement acknowledging that attending the party was an error in judgment. Quote, while our family followed the restaurant's health protocols and took safety precautions, we should have modeled better behavior and not joined the dinner, end quote. This is the governor. Do you all get that? He just said this recently. We have Thanksgiving coming up. Quote, for obvious reasons, people are letting their guard down. They're taking their masks off. They're starting to get together outside of their household cohorts. They're starting to see businesses reopen. We're starting again to see more people mixing. As it gets colder, we'll see more still. We need to not do this. I got to calm down. Seriously. I saw the story and I'm like, no. Here's the zinger. He gets caught. There'll be no repercussions. Nancy Pelosi doing a little hairdo. Nothing. Our friends in New York, right? And they're all Democrats. But we live in the state of California. There's a recall petition going on right now. And of the state of 40 million people, I think 250,000 people have signed the recall petition. So, look, we get what we deserve. But this story is true. He and his wife attend a little birthday party. Oh, well, forgive me. And look, I'm all for forgiveness. I'm all for forgiveness. But here's the deal. Stop preaching at me. When you hear something like 235,000 people have died from COVID, no, they've mostly died from lockdowns. And I'm serious. With the impending decision of either Donald Trump or Joe Biden, one of them is going to be the next president. And they couldn't be more different, more opposite. And Monday, we're going to revisit the audio clip from Victor Marx, maybe even have on the show and take your phone calls. But if your pastor did not speak out before the elections, I've even had emails from people saying, I'm thinking about leaving my church. Pastor didn't say anything. Well, maybe the end of 2020 and 2021 will be the year where Christians finally stop justifying and rationalizing being docile, being submissive, not questioning anything, not challenging anything. 70 million people plus voted for Donald Trump. That's the stat. We are seeing things in our country occur like never before. And I will say this, if the left thinks if there was some funny business here that they're going to get away with it, they're not going to get away with anything. And especially if you're a Christian and you don't stand for biblical principles above all, I'd fall to my knees, ask God for forgiveness. And if you think I'm a big hypocrite, I fall to my knees every day and ask God for forgiveness. You are welcome to email me at franksontag@kkla.com. And I'm doing everything I can to resist saying more about the whole Gavin Newsom story. Easy to find the recall petition online. That's what I'll say. This is the Frank Sontag Show.